Welcome, Rocket football fans, to a very special podcast this week. Of course, our football team is idle. The Rockets have completed their regular season and have a bye week, the 10th week of the regular season. And Crittenden County will be at home against the Fort Knox Eagles in the first round of the playoffs next week. Since we have a break in the action, we are going to have a very special podcast today, as I said, and we're going to discuss the 60-year anniversary team. We have some special guests today. We have our usual Coach Al Starnes. We have Andy Hunt, who is the mastermind of all these interesting stats and teams that we're able to put out. We have Zach Greenwell, the voice of the Rockets on WMJL Radio. And in just a little bit, we are going to be joined by Doug Campbell, a former Rocket quarterback and one of the better quarterbacks we've had here in the last 20, 25 years. So he's on his way. We're going to get started with this right now. And very first thing we'll do is introduce the guest, Coach Starnes. Glad you're here.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you.
Andy Hunt.
Appreciate it, Chris. Glad to have the opportunity to finally unveil this well-talked-about survey results.
It's been a great conversation maker, hasn't
it? I believe so.
Yes. And Zach Greenwell, of course, Zach is the Commonwealth Attorney for the Judicial District, and he's also the voice of the Rockets, along with Mike Crabtree, who couldn't get away from the barbershop today. I hate to not have Mike here.
Well, there's more important things for Mike to do, I'm sure, than be here to talk about this. I do appreciate you inviting me, Chris. I'm whatever friends I have, I'm sure we'll lose after today's podcast. People that were forgotten or left off the all-time football team.
And again, we'll have Doug Campbell. He's on his way here right now. Doug, I think, has had a busy day. But first of all, we're going to begin by unveiling this team. And Andy Hunt is the team historian and records keeper. And Andy, first of all, lay out a little bit about why this, how this was conceived, why it was conceived, and how you went about gathering this group of nominees first.
I'm constantly trying to think of ways to draw attention to the program, keep excitement going. I noticed whenever I came back here in 2007, we had just missed the 50th season of Crittenden County football in 06. And so I had marked this on my calendar for almost 10 years and actually remembered to do it, even though I've had quite a bit going on in my life here lately with a new son, and had just laid out some general guidelines for myself to pick the nominees. There's, I believe, 60 people on there. Some of it has to do with what their statistics were in high school. So if they excelled, lots of passing yards, rushing yards, tackles, and so on, their name would probably be on the list. Some other folks were based upon end-of-season awards. So for instance, I believe Ricky Guess was second-team All-State in the 60s. I don't have any stats for Mr. Guess, but based upon that third-party honest opinion of his play, he got on the list. So several other All-State AP people got on the list because of that. Sometimes it was based upon, for instance, Frank Head, a lot of success at Murray State after his time here at Crittenden County. Brad Hart didn't have one of the top 10 careers here while in high school, but won 3 bowl games as a member of the University of Kentucky football team. So there were several different ways to look at it, and that's kind of whenever the voting was going on, I wanted everybody to choose what they felt was important for this team. If somebody thought statistics only, absolutely, then that's what it was. If somebody felt team success was important and that overrode some folks that were on teams that didn't win a lot of games, then vote that way. Or just whatever they thought of that day, that wanted to be an honest opinion. So that's where it all kind of came from originally.
And of course, you know, I know this created a lot of stir, maybe dusting up some of the feather coats, I think, because there were probably some very good players that weren't on the list. Some maybe that are on there. There were some arguments, questions as to why. But you know, it's hard to quantify. It's hard, like you said, to say, all right, here's 60. Unless you use some kind of criteria as you've laid out, and now we know. And you know, if you're a lineman, and Coach Starnes and I were talking about this earlier at lunch, if you're an offensive lineman, how do you quantify your play? It's difficult unless someone was there, lived to see you, or like you said, take a third party's group or individual's word for it is about all you can go on if you didn't see those folks play. So this is something that was meant to be fun. It was meant to create some conversation, and it is wholeheartedly a fan-selected 60-year anniversary team. Fans picked this.
Yeah, and you know, Chris, I'd like to say that I appreciate Andy's willingness to do this and whatever he can to help the program because, I mean, he's been a detriment to our program since I've been here.
A detriment?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been an asset to our program, my fault.
He's a detriment to all of us.
but you know, I do have to say that I appreciate everything that he does and everything that he has done for our program.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, well, I think without further ado, Mr. Hunt, if you will, can I have a drum roll? Well, listen, now this, the way I understand it, these are not in necessarily any particular order.
There is an order. It is by first name alphabetically.
Okay,
that first is, name. I won't lie about
not
that.
Not by vote.
But by no means are this in any way related to the voting.
And these are 11 players that were selected by the fans, online voting only. And you could only vote one time. You were very specific about how you set this up so people couldn't vote more than once.
You could vote only one time from a machine.
Yes. If you had multiple devices.
You could go on your phone or at home on your computer, you could do it twice. But it was not where somebody could sit there all night long and just stack this thing. There was about 725 ballots cast. Everyone had to vote for 11 names. Couldn't vote for more, couldn't vote for less, couldn't vote for the same person 11 times. So... it stayed pretty true. The first name on the list is David Beverly.
Let's go ahead and go through them all, and then we'll go back and we'll have a little conversation about it.
Okay. Dennis Hodge, Donnie Morgan Phillips, Donnie Beverly, Gage Courtney, J.D. Gray, Ronnie Moss, Rusty Minyard, Stefan Cozart Sr., T.K. Guess, and Wampy Stewart.
Pretty good list there. Coach Starnes, you've had just about every one of those guys.
And you know, Chris, it's good that I had an insight to the ones in my ear since I've been here that I could see, watch them grow and be able to watch them on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, this is a good list. And, you know, each one of these guys has qualities and brought qualities to our program that we couldn't do without, and then the ones that I didn't have, the ones that were named earlier, I mean the ones that were named before I was here, you know, I've heard a lot about since I've been here, so I know them all very well.
Yeah, just glancing down the list, I was wrong. I thought a lot of them had played for you.
I played with six of those guys, Chris.
Zach Greenwell played with six of those. With that puts you in pretty good company, Zach. Because we know you
and
all.
And there's some
are.
Pretty good football players in that era that weren't on that list, and. That's just part of how hard it is to do, to put 60 years of football together and come up with some names, because every one of those guys that I'm talking about, the six guys I played with, they're first-rate football players. Mm-hmm. Coach Starnes liked to have every one of them at 18 years old to play this year.
Yeah, and as I said, I've heard a lot about them, and you know, there's always been this, since I've been here, there's been this 85-5 team that we've always been compared to. Mm-hmm. And I expect that most of these guys, if not all of them, were on the 85 team.
Except for Ronnie Moss, and he wasn't very good, you know.
He wasn't very good at all. So
let's run down the list then and start with David Beverly. Of course, we know David Beverly's the all-time leading rusher at Crittenden County. David, Andy, what years did David play? That all runs together on me. He was a 90s guy.
Yeah. I've got a ton of information sitting here in front of me. So he played from 94 to 97.
94 to 97. Of course, David was a big running back, strong, had pretty good speed for a big guy. Coach Starnes, you had him. What do you remember about David?
Well, David was probably the worst thing that happened to our program that I know of. and I tell you why. And I mean that in a good way, because people that I've talked to that would have played with David did not play because David hit them and they didn't play. And so he ended up having a lot of people that he stopped from playing football because of the way he was. Mm-hmm. Dave was the type of running back that we could give the ball 35 times a game. And he, you know, you hear it now, in the NFL and in college, that he gets better as the game goes on. You could never wear David out, and it showed. He was just as effective, if not more, in the fourth quarter late in the game than he was in the first part of the game. And, you know, David was one that that we could give the ball to late in the game. And we won a lot of games late in the fourth quarter when we did give David the ball.
Yeah, if I could use one word to describe him, it would be stallion, because he had that kind of a long gait. He was hard to break down. And like you said, he just would go and go and go.
You know, one thing people don't, you know, you key on the rushing yards, all-time leading rusher, 3,911 yards. Mm-hmm. But whenever he stopped playing, he was actually fourth in tackles in the career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, very strong defensive statistics as well. And those people that are two-sided in this statistics discussion, you know, such as a J.D. Gray that we'll bring up here in a minute, you know, you can see them in this list along with T.K. Guess.
The next guy on the list, Dennis Hodge. Zach, I'm going to turn to you because you played with Dennis. Of course, everybody knows Dennis. He's coached nearly everything here. He went on and played college baseball, and he's currently the high school basketball coach.
There's no doubt. Dennis Hodge, he was, in my opinion, he was the best big play guy that I remember playing with or watching. Just when you needed a big play, Dennis came up with one. There's a couple that he'll be remembered for in the state championship run, playing Fulton County. We're down. There's less than 2 minutes to go. We've got the ball in our own territory, and Dennis sets up kind of a little wheel route or an up and an out and up route, and you know, ball's thrown and he goes and gets it and scores a 60-yard touchdown to put us ahead with less than 2 minutes to go. So that's the guy you want with the ball in his hands. In the state game, he returns a punt for a touchdown, which was the go-ahead score. So that's what Dennis did. It was not just catching passes. They put him in the backfield, run him wide. He would return punts, return kicks, had lots of interceptions on defense. He was really offense, defense, special team guy. You know, state was a strong team. State team was strong top to bottom, but Dennis was the big play guy out of that bunch. That's why he's remembered.
Yeah, of course, he was a senior on the 1985 team.
And everything I heard about him in that era, and you know, even teaching with him and coaching with him for all these years, that one word to sum it up, it's athlete. Very, very good athlete.
Yeah, and a will to beat you. Mm-hmm. Wants to win all the time.
And I think statistically, you know, he was predominantly what he was cut out to be was a receiver, and back then you just didn't throw the ball that much, and why would you? You had Donnie Phillips and Mike Crabtree rotating. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Crabtree's a heck of a fullback, and I know he hadn't really made the discussion, but Mike was really a strong fullback, so you had Donnie and Mike that you're rotating in and out at fullback, and Rusty Manyard carrying the ball. So Dennis didn't get his number call a lot for receptions, or he would have been way up on the receiving list.
Well, actually, he, as far as his total now, it doesn't look as impressive since we've had T.K. Gass, Chad Perryman, and now Ethan Hunt come through. But whenever Dennis was done, he had 874 career receiving yards, which was the most by anybody at that time. So even though it was still an offense that didn't throw the ball around as much as we do now, he still was able to accumulate.
So teams of scale, offenses of scale, he was way on up there.
Yes, absolutely.
No question. Mm-hmm. No question. Then the next guy, a couple of you have mentioned him, is Donnie Morgan Phillips. And Donnie was a junior on the state championship team in 85. He came back and played the 86 football season. That team went 7-3 and was a really good football team. Had a chance to, I thought, had a chance to go back and challenge for a state championship again. That was the first season I came to Crittenden County, and Donnie Morgan was a bull. Offensively and defensively,
he was probably, in my opinion, a better linebacker than he was a fullback. At middle linebacker, he just shut down the run in between the tackles. You know, he's big and physical. He was the leader of that defense. Certainly had command of everybody on the field. You know, if Donnie told you to do something, you better do it. I mean, he meant it. So Donnie had a good shot of making a run that year. We only lost to Fort Campbell in a monsoon.
By a point,
mm-hmm. It was a heavy rain that game. We lost 6-0, had the ball first and goal inside
7-6.
And had the ball inside the 5, first and goal, and for some reason, I don't think Donnie ever got the ball, you know.
No, he didn't. It was a power play each time.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll come back to some of these guys, but let's make sure we get on through the list. We don't want to be here all afternoon. The next one is Donnie Beverly. Donnie's, of course, David's older brother. And Donnie is a Little League football coach. He coaches the 5th, 6th grade team. A lot of people know Donnie. He lives here in Marion. What about Donnie on this one, Coach Darnes? He played for you.
Yeah, I mean, Donnie was one of those guys that had a will to win and in practice and played as hard each time. And, you know, he was probably a little bit more of a jitterbug than David. David wanted to just run over you. Now, he could outrun you at times, but David wanted to punish you, and Donnie, I think, was probably trying to avoid the punishment and just trying to jitterbug around you. But, you know, he had some moves. He very talented. He had some good hands out of the backfield, and we could run screens with him and, you know, did an excellent job. So, you know, I'm proud of him as well.
And you got any stats on Donnie?
For Donnie rushing the ball, he was seventh. He's currently seventh in career yards. 1,973 is how many he had. So definitely a solid amount there. That's about all I have on Donnie.
And he would have more. He ended up getting hurt and had a motorcycle wreck and hurt his leg and had to sit out some games. But he would have had more and did a good job. I mean, just a jitterbug of a running back.
I remember Donnie being a pretty good linebacker, too.
Yeah.
Filled holes.
Next on the list is Gage Courtney. Of course, Gage just graduated, let's say 7 years ago or so. He's a contemporary-type player. He's a coach now over at Webster County. And Gage was as good a player. I remember in Little League, everybody talking about Gage Courtney. And he, you know, some guys you hear about in Little League, and when it comes time for high school, you don't hear their name quite as often. But Gage, you did. He kept it up.
Yeah, and, you know, Gage played linebacker. Gage played tight end. He played fullback. You know, Gage is one of those guys that, like David Beverly was, that he wanted to punish you. I mean, he wanted to hurt you. Whether or not it's a tackle, whether it's a run, and that's the way he is, and that's his personality. Very aggressive, and I get people all the time when I go out somewhere and talk to somebody outside the community, and they find out I'm from Crittenden County. That's what they mention is Gage Courtney, yeah. And so people know about him, and very competitive. Like you said, he's coaching now at Webster County, and. Maybe we can get him back here and coach him with Crittenden County.
Well, that would be good. Now, Gage was on the 2008 team that went to the semifinals, and we lost at Beechwood, and that was one of the best teams that we've ever had here, obviously.
That was a great team.
Anything else? Andy, you got anything on Gage there, numbers?
Gage is all-time leading tackler, 345 career tackles, and he's high up on all-time receiving yards as well, so – definitely a two-sided player. You were talking about Gage being a punisher. I can remember one specific play. I believe it was against Mayfield. Long touchdown run. And whenever the play was over, there was a string of Mayfield players laying on the ground that had attempted to tackle him that he had absolutely laid out and actually injured on the play. So definitely a bruiser.
Mm-hmm. I remember the game. He didn't run the ball till midway through the through the ball game and late in the season, he's kind of came in as, he had so many offensive weapons, but boy, when they put him in for the first time, he was impressive.
Of course, and that was the team that beat Mayfield twice in one season. I'm not sure anybody's ever done that.
That's only two times we've ever beat them.
And of course, nobody's ever done that, Chris. It's just the way the playoffs work now. But, it was an exciting year that year, and Gage was a big part of that.
The next guy on the list is J.D. Gray. He was the quarterback of that very same team, and as we said, one of the best teams in Crittenden County history, and no surprise that some of those guys off that team are making it.
And J.D. was one that he was a pure runner. He was not the fastest. As people thought that he was real fast, people thought that he was big. And, when you'd meet J.D., you were surprised that he was J.D. Gray because he looked bigger, or they thought he was bigger than what he was. And JD just, you know, has such a heart of a champion. I mean, we knew every time we put the ball in his hands, which putting him at quarterback was 100% of the time, that something good would happen. And you know, he worked on throwing the football, and
but he hated it.
But he didn't like to throw it. He liked to run it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I remember you know, people. I know people from Mayfield fans, and you know, they when he graduated, that was the comment that they're glad that the announcer is not saying JD Gray anymore. And
JD was probably what, 5'9", 5'10", 165.
Well, that's giving him
70.
A couple inches,
okay,
too.
Okay, maybe not. 5'8", was he 5'8", 5'9"? Like you said, not a big guy.
He wasn't big.
But he kept his head up, kept his balance. Excellent balance is what I remember a lot about JD.
Just elusive. I mean, he wasn't fast. He's just elusive. And, you know, just, you know, it was amazing. So
statistically, where is JD at?
If you were going to base this list, you know, off statistics, JD's definitely right there close to number one, because he's fourth in passing yards with 2,172. He's third in rushing yards and with 3,200. He's scored the most rushing touchdowns in school history at 40. He's got the most total TDs at 48. He's all over the place in terms of these record books. It was a massive amount of stats piled up during his 4 years.
The next guy, and I will say this from the beginning, he's, to me, the most memorable player since I have been here since 1986. I've been around Crittenden County football, and Ronnie Moss is a player that I would, if I could pick one to see play again, he's my guy, because he was sensational when he had football, wasn't he, Zach?
The only thing that Ronnie hasn't done right as far as football is brought sons for Al Starnes.
Girls. Has all Al girls.
Starnes, and they're good athletes,
they're
too.
They're very good athletes.
But yes. they didn't play football for Coach Starnes. I'm telling you, he was
but
the
now
real
they could have.
Deal.
Yeah. They could. I believe Cassidy Moss, who's a senior on the basketball team this year, I believe she could play on our football team.
Oh, I agree 100%.
She's tough.
He was special. That's the only way to describe Ronnie.
You know, I'll never forget the day. Of course, Ronnie was the leading returning rusher in the state of Kentucky his senior year. And in a scrimmage game, they were playing Lone Oak. Crittenden was playing Lone Oak. And Coach Pardue was a very dear friend of mine at the time. And I was working in Paducah then. He called me on the phone, literally in tears. And he said, "Man, you're never going to believe what happened. Ronnie's done for the season." He was broke down. I had to counsel him for two or three days after that. I mean, it was just like a dark cloud had settled over his whole life, because Ronnie was such a special, special athlete, and people wanted to see that senior year out of him.
Yeah, and I can remember, you know, of course I wasn't here then, but I mean, he is probably by far the most talked about athlete that I have heard from people in this community that witnessed Crittenden County football.
Andy, I can't tell you the exact numbers, you probably have them there in front of you. I think Ronnie rushed for around 1,600 yards his junior year. Yes. I remember, too, the first game that he got in, it was Coach Crum was here, and it was in I guess it was 86. 86 season, and Ronnie was a freshman, and we were beating Fulton. It was one of the games, because we listed it here the other night after we played Fulton County and beat them so bad. I think it's the third biggest margin victory we ever had, and we were so far ahead. Coach Crum said, "Where's that freshman?"
and that's true. Back then, well, freshman didn't play in those days.
And the freshman was Ronnie Moss, and I think he rushed for two touchdowns and about 100 yards in that game.
You know, everybody, the game I remember was his junior year against Reedland.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first four or five times he touched the ball.
Touchdowns.
Andy's just pulled up the stats. I'll let him go over those.
Yeah, I'd always heard this was the first half totals, but I don't know if that's
it was the first half. He didn't play the second half.
Yeah, eight rushing attempts, okay. 249 yards and five touchdowns.
Okay, that was the second half too then, because he had four carries the first half and four touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah. So he carried the ball four more times.
And it wasn't a walkover team. I mean, they weren't a strong Reedland team, but it wasn't a pretend team that they were playing.
No. Ronnie was an incredible player, and just, you know, he's a good father, too. I'll say that. He raises these girls. They're good kids. He's a good member of the community. You see him everywhere. And, in fact, we bought some flags from his wife today, some Rocket flags.
Yeah.
Have one hanging here above us today. So, Ronnie Moss, great player. Next on the list is Rusty Minyard. Now, Rusty was he was a member of the state championship team, and he also he was a junior on that team, so he played in 86 his senior season and rushed for over 1,000 yards that year. Rusty was a tough guy.
He was. Rusty was, you know, 150-pound running back, and he was the workhorse of that team. Certainly, Mike and Donnie carried the ball probably close to as much as Rusty did, but Rusty's always running between the tackles, and, you know, that's through a championship run. Everybody we were playing was good. Rusty went both ways in special teams, and I can't remember Rusty setting out a play. I mean, he was a tough guy. He's tough today.
Yeah.
You know, Rusty, he's just he's a wiry, tough guy, and that's how he played football.
Coaches Little League football, too. You appreciate his all his participation the last few years with that, too. And yeah, Rusty was a great player. And I want to tell you what I remember is Rusty and Kelly McIntosh, both of them redheaded guys. Sometimes I'd get them mixed up, but both of them were really good football players. Of course, Kelly's no – he died in a mining accident not many years ago.
He did. Both those guys, if you wanted to fight them, you might as well try to fight a chainsaw, you know, because they're tough as they could be.
They were.
And that's what I heard as well, that, you know, just toughness that he had and, you know, wish that our players would be as tough as he was and stuff like that. So
yeah.
that's what people say about him that talk to me about.
You know, and Rusty's another one. You see him out there on Friday nights. I mean – these guys still come back. The biggest part of these guys, if they're around here, they're back at the ball games too. Anything on Rusty, Andy, statistically?
Yeah, he had 1,783 career rushing yards and 13 touchdowns. He finished up whenever at the end of his career, he was actually number two or number three in career rushing yards at that point. So
yeah, after that. And he got most of those his senior year, I think. Well, junior and senior year.
Yeah, 1,000-yard season and 700 yards. Yeah.
And you think, you know, when you start talking about yards like that, I mean, he's getting a third of the touches that he would have gotten because he's playing with good ball players around him.
Yeah. Like you said, one of the only guy in the backfield that's not on this 60-year team that was on those teams is Mike Crabtree, and very well could be on here.
He could. He could.
You know? Next on the list is another guy from the 85 state championship team. He was a junior as well on that team, and that's Stefan Kozart. Not to be confused with his son, Stefan, who's a pretty good player in his own right about 7 or 8 years ago as well. Stefan, Zach, he had some injury issues too. Had he played a full career, he probably would have gone on and played some college football if he'd have wanted to.
Stefan was certainly a good lineman, and his specialty is pass rushing. I mean, he could flat get after a quarterback. He really good speed, and you know, he probably played at 190 pounds or so. He wasn't as big and strong as little Stefan was early in his career, but seems like little Stefan lost weight and became more like big Stefan in his senior year. Mm-hmm. I think they played a lot alike, and I think it would please Stefan to hear me say, I think they were probably, little Stefan was probably close to as good as big Stefan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I know little Stefan. I coached him, and you know, if big Stefan was as good as little Stefan, and then he was a good ball player because you know, little Stefan's motor never quit, and he too was a defensive lineman. I think he was an offensive lineman as well because we had to play both ways. But you know, as a defensive lineman, I think that he was better because he had a nose for the ball. And he can move well. Mm-hmm.
That's one of those guys that I was talking about in the selection process of this. I really don't have a lot as far as statistics go for Stefan, but he, along with Rusty Minyard, Andy Mason, and Donnie Phillips, were All-State Honorable Mention in 1986 for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, pretty high order right there. Next on the list is you know, if I, like I said about Ronnie, if I could watch one player one more time, it would be Ronnie. But now I think this is my number two guy on that list. It's TK Guess. TK was a phenomenal, phenomenal pass receiver. He was a playmaker. I think that describes him about as well as I can attempt to describe him, Coach Starnes. He won. He found a way to win.
Yeah, and you know, when TK, when he was playing, it was very simple in my mind. It was do everything that I can to get TK the ball. And, you know, that he's such a good athlete, and he ranks up there with everybody that I've coached as one of the best athletes that I've ever coached. And you know, it was, I can remember at one time, you know, saying that Crittenden County has not beaten Caldwell County, which is our rival, but one time in 17 years. I said that to players. And, you know, TK was a instrument part of changing that for us, and did it with Austin Berry and, you know, last seconds of the ball game, and threw him the pass, and, you know, we were able to beat Caldwell. I think that made it the fourth straight time in a row. And, you know, so, you know, there's a special place in my heart for TK, and he very good athlete, you know, and so, you know, I think that we have Ethan Hunt this year that broke TK's record, I think. And, you know, but make no mistake that TK was a pleasure and a joy to coach.
You know, he was on those teams in the early 2000s when we were, you know, I guess if there were glory years of Crittenden County football, that may have been it, when we were winning 10, 11 games a season, Coach Starnes. And that's when you piled up a lot of your wins with those guys.
Where they been? I need to go back to that.
Oh, wouldn't we like to put some of these guys back out on the field at time or two? You know, in TK, I think his junior and senior year, 21-4. So not too bad.
Yeah, TK is actually the only member of this team that I believe I played with. And he was a freshman, started as a freshman on our team. One specific play I can remember is that Latez Arnold for Ballard got the best of him, and whenever we played Ballard, and Ballard was pretty good at that time. And, you know, he learned from that, and throughout the rest of the year kept growing and getting better. And whenever we were playing Mayfield, number one team in the state and eventual state champion at 15-0, their quarterback had not thrown an interception the entire year, and TK actually picked one off on him whenever the game was still in doubt. So, you know, he improved that there over that year, and ended up with 1,774 career receiving yards leader, leads all-time interceptions with 21. That's actually good enough to qualify for the KHSA state record book. So just a really, really talented player.
You know, it's funny about Crittenden County football and the pain of Coach Starnes being here so long. When you're in a county-wide school in a Class A district like Crittenden, you kind of just have waves of athletes come
cyclical,
through.
Sure.
And it's very cyclical, and it's rare that you get good athletes coming through at the same time. But when you had Austin Berry and TK Guest together, that was just pure luck. That those guys, the best passer, in my opinion, that we've ever had here was Austin Berry. And he got the best overall receiver we've ever had here since I've been watching. They came through at the same time. That was pure luck.
Are we surprised that Austin's not on this list?
I think so.
I mean, he could certainly be. Again, this is picked by the fans. This is just makes it fun. But if all of us were sitting in this room coming up with a top 11, he's in my top 11.
Well, certainly if we're talking about quarterback, if you're looking at a quarterback, you have to pick between Austin and JD. That's a tough call.
Sure.
If they're looking at because they're completely different. But pure pocket passer, I mean, there's nobody close to Austin Berry, in my opinion.
If I remember right, Coach Starnes, when TK moved here, I believe from Missouri, and he came in about his freshman year. Yeah. I believe it was his first year here. And I want to say he came in as a quarterback. Didn't he want to play quarterback? Well, hadn't he been a quarterback out there in junior high?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, we found out real quick that the best combination was for Austin to get him the ball.
Yeah.
And so we had a quarterback at that time, and felt like the best thing to do was get him the ball in a different position besides a quarterback. So, you know, if you remember correctly, too, that when Austin came into play, it was taken over. We put him in for Sean Thompson at Russellville, and Sean Thompson is now TK's brother-in-law. And, you know, so it was, you know, at Russellville when Sean was quarterback, and that's when we first started our spread offense, because we were like, okay, we want to get the ball in an athlete's hand in space, and that's when we started the inception of the spread. And then you had Austin, who I can remember in Little League designing plays, had his own playbook on throwing the football. So, I mean, he was already talking about throwing the football. And so he came in the second half of that game and really did a great job throwing the football to Sean, who was the quarterback prior to that. Yeah. So I think that's when Austin first started his as being a quarterback. But as far as a pure passer, he would be the one that I would put in there for a passer.
Yeah, yeah. Anything we got here on TK that statistically, Andy?
I did mention earlier that JD actually leads in career points scored, 304, and TK is number two at 288. Yeah. That's another category.
That's how you win games, isn't it?
Put points on the board. Piled them up.
The last guy on the list, Wompy Stewart. Now, Wompy played on the 1985 team. That was his senior year. Wompy is still the all-time leading tackler, or at least second. That's right, Gage is the all-time. But now there's a pretty much an all-out assault on these guys right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Gavin Dickerson is going to be taking them down. They're falling weekly. But one thing about Wompy's totals and his stats, over the years that these are recorded in newspapers, sometimes the years were good, 60s, 70s, not so much. But since you've been here, Chris, it's been really good stats. But there was about five or six games, if I remember correctly, of Wompy's junior year. That we do not have. And he'd had 100 tackles his sophomore year and had 154, I think, his senior year. So that's going to be 50 or 60 tackles probably, which would put him ahead of Gage. So yeah. I don't want to take anything away from Gage. He's got the lead in the category, yeah. But that is one of the person that we do know we're actually missing statistics on. Mm. So
I'm surprised Wompy hasn't found a film or found something on that.
Well, he did assist me in finding. Yeah. Didn't have anything from his junior year. At one point we found. Maybe five games or so.
His mom kept a big scrapbook, and he has a lot of memorabilia from when he played. Or girlfriends. I can't remember. Maybe it was his girlfriends that kept the scrapbook. But I tried to get Wompy, get in touch with him to come by today, and he's unable to come. And I mentioned Doug Campbell was going to be here. I just got a text from him. He was actually coming in from Princeton. He said he was getting behind too many farmers and just wasn't going to be able to make it. Well, I hate Doug didn't make it to this because he would have brought some more interesting concepts and conversation to the table today. But, Zach, you played with Wompy. And he's on the radio with you from time to time. Wompy's a knowledgeable guy when it comes to football.
He is. Wompy's a football guy. He's a very competitive guy. I remember when we were making a run at Mayfield, when we were calling the game, Wompy had said something over the radio that I wasn't sure we were going to get out of there alive. Out of the press box, because it was a competitive nature of Wompy, just the way he played. And it wasn't just defensively. Certainly he was a good defensive player, but he played guard on offense, and he could teach a clinic on how you pull, how a guard pulls and kicks out an end. They ran a call they still talk about today called the 36 H-trap. That was Mike's play and Donnie's play, where you ran the fullback behind a pulling guard who was kicking out somebody. It was the only time that the fullback got to run outside the tackle, or at least at the tackle, rather than running up the middle. And it was a great play because we had big, strong, quick backs, but mainly because Wompy kicked out that end person. And I think that's something maybe we'll talk about at some point. We don't have any linemen out of this bunch, hardly.
And again,
I think we need to talk about that.
There's some great players. I think that, as much as anything, sums up what kind of a list we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guys that touched the football, mm-hmm. or your guys who were just your star tacklers. And that's who we've got here in this list. And again, it's hard to quantify, though. The guy that comes to my mind, I didn't see him play, but whenever I hear football discussed in the era before I came here, Jeff Campbell, a lineman, Jeff Campbell, he was on the 85 team.
He was a good one. There wasn't a doubt.
Everybody talked about how good of a lineman he was. And then, I remember Cliff Paddock and Winky.
Adam Young.
I mean, big old guys that were just solid up front. And the Lanham boy.
Dustin Lanham and
both of them.
Sean Lanham. But I mean, it's hard to mention all of them. I'm going to tell you that that I remember, one that sticks out in my mind. Of course, you have A.J. Thompson, who went to Indiana, who was a big center for us. You had Josh Cozart, who had offers to Louisville, who it was played lineman for us. And you had others. I mean, this past year we had Travis McKinney and Travis Fitzgerald. Sure. They were good, you know. But one that sticks out in my mind, and people don't realize that, is one of the smallest linemen that we ever had was Joey Rich. And that was the year that he was a running back, and he went from running back. We told him that we're gonna go to wing T, and you and Matt Gent are going to be our pulling guards. And he took that and became one of, as you were talking about, pulling. That became, because in the wing T, you pull every play. And that was what they became specialized in. And they loved it. And Joey Rich would, you know, I can remember him. He sit there, and his forearm has already started 5 yards before he even got there, because he's fixing to light somebody up. And that was his mentality. And, you know, and he'll tell you right now, he was the smallest one that he had. But, you know, as we always say, it's that heart that counts. You don't have to be big, and as long as you have that heart. So guys like that need to be mentioned. And, mm-hmm. and I know, and I apologize, there's more linemen out there that could be mentioned and stuff like that. So we do need to do something about that at some point, because I played offensive line. I know you don't get your name called and stuff like that. So,
you know, we could go on and on and on, and we should do this more. Maybe we can develop some sort of a plan to do this, and maybe pick a 10-year team, an era or something, and sit down and discuss this. It's been so much fun to do this. We've rattled on now for over 40 minutes, and I'm sure, you know, people's data, if they're listening to this on their handset, they're probably chewing up a lot of data. And I know you guys got to go on to your other duties today. Coach Darnes, I know you have practice this afternoon, even though it's an idle week. But, again, closing comments, Zach?
It was fun to do. And a lot of names left out, and to my friends, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of several. There's certainly a lot of good football players, people that played college ball, such as Chad Mott and Brad Hart, that didn't get mentioned.
Dwight Little, who may be the best player we ever had here.
Played at UK.
Frankie Head.
All-time tackler.
Great players. But again, we've created some conversations. A lot of these are fan favorites. Mm-hmm. Andy?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys from those early years are left out, as this technology of online surveys doesn't necessarily feed to them doing well in this type of thing. But, you know, this was an exciting thing. I enjoyed the debate, you know, and I don't take offense to people knocking my list or saying somebody should be on there or somebody shouldn't be on there. You know, that's what this is for. And if I can't handle it, then I don't need to do this.
And but, did you see any campaigning online for votes?
There was a little campaigning, and the rules are listed on here, and there aren't any. So you know, they, by all means, do whatever you want to on this, you know. All right. And, you know, it worked out well for a couple of them, seems like. But, you know, I really did enjoy this, and I hope that people don't take it too seriously or take offense to any of this. Yeah. But
it's a great opportunity to talk about these players, and they're all great players on this list.
You know, and we appreciate all that you do, and it's amazing the stats that you come up with and you keep and you compile, and we use that every year in our banquets and stuff like that. But just the support that we get from you and everybody in this community that keeps – Rocket football talking and going and conversations, just things like this. And were there some names left out? Absolutely, and things like that. We get that. We understand that. But just the fact that we could talk about these guys and come back and get the excitement that we have right here, we appreciate it, and thank you for that.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks for the roundtable discussion today. I really enjoyed it. We'll have to get together and do this again. This is Rocket Football with Chris Evans at the Crittenden Press.